Reading through the last book in the Bible is quite an experience. The narrative begins in a manner that's relatively easy to follow. But before long, the reader is exposed to unfamiliar scenes and bizarre characters that are unsettling. At these moments, it's helpful to hear from Bible teachers who've researched the meaning of John's revelation. Today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his verse-by-verse study of Revelation called Unveiling the End. In this study, we'll witness another shocking display of God's judgment. Chuck titled his message, Releasing Demons from the Abyss.
Now we're in the last book of the Bible in our study of Revelation. Look on as we read from the last verse of chapter 8 into the 9th chapter. I need to tell you ahead of time, this is an extremely sober and dark section of time as well as recorded for us in this book that ends triumphantly, but not before we go through the period of great and dreadful judgments. You recall there were seven seals that came in the form of judgments. The seventh one opened the next set of judgments called the trumpets, the seventh of which will open the next set of seven, are called bowls, B-O-W-L, bowls. And each section of judgment is like a crescendo marking on a score of music, becomes increasingly more intense. This will be the most intense we've seen this far. Reading for you from Revelation 8:13 through 9:12. Then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. And power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Revelation with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. Chuck calls today's message, Releasing Demons from the Abyss.
It was on the 15th of September, 2001, that the President of the United States went on the radio and delivered a speech to the nation. We were all stunned at the time by what had happened on the 11th. He, with the brain trust around him, had put together the beginning of a strategy to deal with terrorism, and he felt the necessity to address the American public. In his speech, he said these words, "This will be a different kind of conflict against a different kind of enemy. This is a conflict without battlefields or beachheads, a conflict with opponents who believe they are invisible." I still remember those words. They had a chilling effect on me, as they did on many of you. A different kind of conflict against a different kind of enemy. An enemy who thinks he is invisible. I have no desire today to frighten anyone with my message from Revelation 9. I don't want to frighten, but like the president back in September of 2001, I do want to warn and I do want to inform. In doing so, we will be looking at one of the most sobering scenarios revealed in Holy Scripture. I might as well use the word, it is dark down in here. I've spent weeks thinking on it, and this past week digging deeply into it. And there is no other way to say it than to say we have come to the ugliest side of evil. It is a different kind of conflict with a different kind of enemy who is invisible. It makes us nervous. We don't like living things that are invisible. We're not comfortable when the weapons can't be held in our hands and bullets don't go into a chamber to fight back. We don't like it when there are conflicts about us that we cannot hear. We can only imagine. But when you move into the realm of the demonic, you move into a dimension of the supernatural that unfortunately Hollywood has had its day portraying for us, as producers and directors can do, but how rarely they get it right as it relates to scriptural revelation. What we are going to read is not something that comes as a result of the creative energy of a George Lucas working with a Steven Spielberg. We're coming into a passage that has been written in the first century AD, first century, preserved for us these 20 centuries, inspired of God, predicted, knowing that they will come to pass, because God doesn't lie. This dark scene is a part of the series of 21 judgments that fall on this earth. Seven in each of the three parts, first the seal judgments, then the trumpet judgments, more intense, and then the most intense, the bowl judgments. And toward the end, you realize it is absolutely chaotic. You and I thought we were taken back by the felling of two great buildings, and indeed we were, but that was nothing compared to what is ahead. Nothing. And so as we unfold the scene from Revelation 9, understand this is the first of three horrible woes, each woe being representative of the last three trumpets. John writes in Revelation 8:13, of an eagle flying in mid-heaven, announcing, woe, that's the fifth trumpet. Woe, that's the sixth trumpet. The end of chapter 9, we'll read of that. Woe, that's the seventh trumpet. We will uncover that when we get to chapter 11. So this is the first of three woes, horrible that it is. The first woe begins with the fifth angel sounding his trumpet, verse 1. John is in a state of ecstasy as he witnesses with his own eyes being caught up in the world of the supernatural, seeing what is unseen by normal human eyes, felt by what is intangible by people like us. He's seeing, he's feeling, he's hearing in this ethereal realm events that will take place in the future. It's the best I can do to set the setting or the stage. The fifth angel sounds, and John says, I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. There are those who say, rather dogmatically, this was Satan in his fall. This star is never revealed as Satan, so we can't go there with any sense of assurance. Probably it is one of the high-ranking angels given authority to do something remarkable in the spiritual realm. In the heart of the earth is the abyss. The abyss. It is the abode of incarcerated demons. Apparently, there is a shaft leading down to the heart of the abyss where these demons unwillingly and unhappily are kept under control and, if you will, in wraps. Not until they are released are they able to come forth. There are other demons not so imprisoned. These are imprisoned that we'll read about. They're incarcerated for reasons I'll not go into, and they're held there until they are released by the opening of a lock, which comes from a key given by another angel. So we have a star falling from heaven. We have the word star in our English language referring to great athletes. We call them sports stars. Great actors we call film stars. The business realm where someone is coming to the fore on the horizon, we'll even refer to her or him as a rising star in the business realm. This is like that. Some significant being, we know it is animate because the masculine pronoun is used referring to the star at the beginning of verse 2. He opened. Literally, the shaft of the abyss. So get the picture. Coming out of heaven is a creature, some supernatural creature called a star, masculine. He's given a key, which tells us that the key is not simply available hanging on a latch somewhere in the portals of heaven, but is being secured by another angel. Perhaps it is that angel's task to guard that key. You can see why when the key is used to open this bottomless pit. The key is given to this star, so he doesn't have it in his possession, and it is a key to literally the shaft of the abyss. Again, it's as best we can do with our mind. It is a deep, long shaft that goes into the bowels of the earth, forming this abyss, hot as if heated by a great furnace where the demons exist. Verse 2, he, the star, with the key, opened the bottomless pit, the shaft of the abyss, opens the shaft, and immediately there is smoke that comes up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. You remember when Mount St. Helens erupted? We were living on the West Coast at the time, and I recall hearing a great deal about it because we didn't know if the cloud would blow south or would blow east. It blew east, and some of you living in that area will recall how the sky became darkened as a result of simply one massive volcano eruption. And here we have smoke coming across the sky and diminishing the light of the sun and darkening the brightness of the sky, no doubt bringing with it its pollution from the foul abyss. The sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the abyss from the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. Now, we're told about the locusts for a number of verses, so prepare yourself for the unexpected. You and I have seen locusts, and we have seen the devastation brought by normal insects named locusts. We know their size. We've seen the appearance of them and the terrible plague that they can bring to crops. Say more about that later. But these are locusts. Like creatures. The size is never told us, but we will read later of their faces and crowns and teeth and hair, so they must be larger than the normal size insect, perhaps the size of a human being, perhaps larger, perhaps smaller. Let me add here that in my more than 40 years of ministry, I have guarded against rushing to foolish extremes when it comes to the supernatural. I'll exaggerate in other areas. That's sort of the preacher's indoor sport. But when it comes to the supernatural, I tread very carefully. Part of the reason is there is so much hogwash available out there from people who have gone to all sorts of extremes, tagging everything, making each word picture walk on all fours, telling you without a doubt, this means that. Example, the star being Satan. I doubt that it is. If it were, he would be revealed as Satan as he is in chapter 12 of Revelation. But again, I want you to know what I say today comes through guarded lips. If anything, I will underplay rather than overplay the setting. Now we're at the locusts, and we notice they come out of the smoke, and they have power given to them. Understand this to be supernatural power, because they are supernatural creatures, meaning the normal weapons of war will not hurt them, meaning their ability to move and to bring destruction is greater than you and I have seen with the human eye, because they are not human. They are superhuman. They have a power from the netherworld, Satan himself, who is the Lord of the demons. And we'll see more about their particular leader as we get toward the end of this section. But I just want to prepare you. These are not your basic locusts that do a little bit of different kind of stuff. These are completely different kinds of locusts. Call that so that we can picture them in our minds. They have power, and along with the power, they have power as scorpions of the earth have power. When I mention scorpion, you and I both immediately think of the sting of a scorpion. It's an aggressive insect, carries its tail high, and in some, I understand, 24 of those species of scorpions, and there are many, 24 can kill an individual with its venom. We who have been stung by them know that the pain is dreadful, and even to have those scorpions near us is a frightening thought. When I was ministering a number of years ago, I was invited to Monte Sion, which is Mount Zion outside Guatemala City. And it was a rather rugged conference ground. I was ministering to people from the Wycliffe ministry, translators who had come in from the bush and gathered as a group of about 100, 200 people, some of them too sick to sit up, so they lay in hammocks. and many of them fighting diseases they had gotten while in their work. And part of the reason for coming to the conference was to get medical assistance that they had not had from both medicines as well as people who were there to assist them. Some were stung with scorpions while in their sleeping bags and laying on their hammocks. I was given a room down the end of a path, and I was, as I was given a towel and a washcloth, I was also given a broomstick. That's a little unusual. The basic supply, towel, wash rag, and broomstick. So I opened the door. It was raining that afternoon, and a corrugated iron or metal roof like in an old barn, and you could hear the rain hit, and I heard a hissing as I came in. That's a little bit of an eerie feeling, and I reached over to the naked light bulb and turned on the light bulb, and immediately my eye caught an iguana who was, this was the iguana's room that I was to stay in. He was about this big, and his mouth was that large with teeth that, it just seemed like that because it's not every day you visit with an iguana, and nothing like waking up in the morning with iguana pellets on your blanket. But that's not why I was given the broomstick, maybe not pellets, but, you know, whatever they are. Anyway, the broomstick was to take with me to the shower to kill the scorpions. When you shower, it's a fun place. When you are taking your shower, you're forever watching. And I'm glad by the end of the week for two things. First, I was never stung that week. And second, I did not have my wife with me. That was a wonderful decision, which the iguana and I talked about on several occasions as I would go to bed at night. And anyway, scorpions. We're very uneasy around insects that come after us. And these are aggressive like that, with stingers far more venomous. However, they have limitations. Please take notice of four limitations placed on these demons who have filled the creature form of a locust, whatever it looked like. First, they were limited in that they were not able to do what locusts normally do. Verse 4, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree. Locusts normally attack foliage. While traveling on another occasion, I pulled up at the gas station, and as I reached over to get the nozzle to fill my tank, I noticed it was covered with locusts. The gas tank, in fact, was covered. I had to brush them aside to see and to put my card in. And when the fellow came, it was back in the days when you actually signed for it, and he gave you the receipt. But when he came out, I said to him, "Man, is it? These locusts are everywhere." He said, "Yeah, take a look." And I had an interesting before and after experience. I looked to one side, and it was brown as this pulpit is brown, naked, bleeding stalks where they had been. And on the other side was the green of the southern end of the San Joaquin Valley, and they were moving in waves as if playing leapfrog over one another. It was a small swarm. I said, this happened often? He said, "No, about every 7 years they come. We always hope they'll go further south or north," but he said they've hit us full bore. The gutter was full of them. He kept his door closed, and the glass of the service station was covered with them. They were everywhere, eating the foliage. But these locusts were not to touch or hurt or harm anything green. Second limitation, they were not to hurt believers. See the end of verse 4? "But only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Many people get a little bit of information about the mark of the beast, and they think every seal on the forehead is a part of the beast world or following Antichrist. But here is a seal of God.
This is Insight for Living. If you've joined us late in the program, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He's teaching from Revelation chapter 9, and the message is titled, Releasing Demons from the Abyss. There's a lot more teaching ahead. In fact, Chuck is conducting a comprehensive study through all 22 chapters of Revelation. The teaching series is called Unveiling the End. To access Chuck's sermons at your own pace, this entire study is available on CD. To place your order, go to insight.org/offer, or to speak with one of our ministry reps, call 800-772-8888. Here at Insight for Living, we often receive questions about Chuck's study methods. Well, Chuck wrote a hallmark book called Searching the Scriptures. This isn't just for teachers and preachers. It's for anyone who's curious about the Bible and wants to learn more. The subtitle of the book is Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. In his unique guide to spiritual nutrition, Chuck will show you how to dig deep into Scripture and uncover profound truth yourself. And he'll help you prepare your own spiritual meals from God's Word by using the same techniques he's cultivated throughout his ministry. To purchase Chuck's book called Searching the Scriptures, call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. We hear from so many loyal friends who've been listening to Chuck's teaching for 10, 20, 30, even 40 years or more. They often thank Chuck for his spiritual encouragement through the years. Well, one of the best ways to say thank you is by becoming a monthly supporter. As our thank you, we offer our monthly companions 15% off most resources in our online store. To become a monthly companion today, go to insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll continues to describe a future day when God will release demons from the abyss, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Releasing Demons from the Abyss, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.